Hi, this is Jen Pham and Sora Yi, and welcome to Pham Yi,
a space where we support each other and invite you along the journey.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Another week, and we're going to switch it up. So instead of a rosebud thorn, we are going to do two quickies. So, I mean, I say two quickies, but it's just two quick questions that were asked to us, and we want to answer and share with everyone. One of the questions is, how do you or do you have sex while you're pregnant? Like, what is the dynamic now that our bodies have changed?
Well, one, I love that question. I love talking about sex.
Same.
In the beginning, it doesn't change up that much. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it does because if you have morning sickness, all this stuff, you don't have sex. But in terms, you just gotta find a position that works for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like. So now, like, in the mid, after, once my second trimester hit, we still would kind of try to do missionary positions and things like that. Girl, that don't work. I had to tell him, I was like, you are putting too much weight
on
me. Yeah, yeah, you need to hold yourself up.
Like, you can't use me.
You cannot lower your strength onto me in my belly right now because that hurt. So eventually what we found out that worked, especially in third trimester, is doggy.
Yeah, doggy, and I don't know what this position is called, but lying on my side.
Oh yeah, that one. Or like putting your leg up in the air, but you're, like, on your side?
Yeah, but, like, you're somewhat lying down. Yeah. Like, you just, like, have to be in a position where you're lying down or somewhat doggy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like those are the only ways. But, yes, in the beginning, I didn't have morning sickness. So we were still, like, bunnies. We didn't even know we were pregnant, so there was that. But as I continued to get larger, it was just difficult.
Even at one point, doggy hurt. It's like gliding against the bed. And I just feel like I'm getting a burn.
Yeah, I feel like it just depends because everybody's body is different. Yeah.
Did you ever get Braxton Hicks after sex?
No.
Oh, so you never... Oh, that's good.
I did not receive any pain from my pregnancy other than swollen feet. And obviously labor.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't have... I was never... hurting. You know, my back might be sore, but I would just lie down. That's it. I'm good.
Also, this was a really good opportunity to find new things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And try new things.
Try new things, yeah. Experiment. We experimented a bit, and he figured out some areas that he liked.
I think that's so important because as our bodies change, not just through pregnancy, but also as we age,
yeah,
it's really important to continue to learn what your partner likes.
Oh, yeah. You chose that partner for the rest of your life. You might as well enjoy your sex life. We talked about this before.
Yeah. We talked about it. Aiko said to me, we have one life to live, so let me know what your fantasies are, and let's just do it, because it's just us. And I think that's super important. And I was telling Sora, I just learned that there's this thing called monogamish.
What is that?
Wait, I thought I told you
that. You didn't tell me.
Oh, then I probably told my sister that. Okay, so monogamish is when you are in one relationship, but you still have sex with other partners.
Oh, like, I actually know someone in that kind of relationship.
Yeah, and as long as you are abiding by the rules within your relationship and things like that, it works out really well because you literally have one life. How are you going to live this sex life out?
I couldn't do that.
I have brought it up to Ka. If, like, you know, asking him back what his fantasies and stuff were. And he said that we're both on the same page, like, I don't think we could do it. But I did tell him, like, I'm open to going to sex parties and having sex with just him.
Oh, okay. So
like, just the vibe, like, bringing the excitement, but, like, not still being in our little bubble, just because I don't know if my confidence can take it, honestly. And I told him, I was like, wait, I need to have a mommy makeover before we even get that far.
That's wild.
Okay, well, that was one of the first questions. The second question we received was, what is the dynamic in your relationship for decision making?
Oh, I'm sure that varies with every couple. Mm-hmm. I feel like, okay, so I feel like my husband gives me a lot of leeway to make a lot of our decisions. And I think it's also partially because I'm a bit more uptight than he is, and he's a lot more chill with things. Mm-hmm. So he can let go of some things, but I like certain things a very specific way. And so he understands that and kind of lets me do it. However, there is a lot of respect in hearing his position and hearing his thoughts. So a lot of things that I know I'm not good at, I would ask him. And then areas where I know I'm really good at, I would lead. Mm. So that's kind of the dynamic. I think he just lets me be the... He just, like, quietly lets me, but he's like, okay. And then if I mess up, he's always like,
nah, maybe we should do that.
Yeah. He'll sit me down and be like, that was not the smart choice. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Well, we live and we learn.
We live and we learn.
For me, it's very similar in a sense of... Ka is very chill as well. So he lets me be front-facing, make all the decisions. But if it's something he doesn't like, he'll tell me that night. And then I have to go back to them and then...
Fix it?
Yeah. Or change my mind or, you know, whatever. But I never blame him. It's just, this is a team and we're going to wing it like that. And it works for us. I don't make all the decisions because there's just some things I should not make decisions for.
Like what?
Everything that we order on Amazon, I'm like, hey, can you just do the research? And I'm just going to put it on in our cart because it says Amazon's choice. The reviews are over 2,000. It must be good. And I don't read the reviews. And so just like anything tech related, like anything that you have to measure. Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm just like, this is what I want. Can you make it happen?
We're both like, it's like apologize later. Don't ask for permission. Apologize later type people. So if I do something, I'm just like, you know.
Sorry.
Honestly, he's so like used to fucking shit that I think it just, he's accepted it fully.
Yeah, same. But that's pretty much how our decision dynamic works.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, it's been working.
If it works for you guys, it works. Honestly, there is no judgment or like, there's no wrong answer, I feel like. Every relationship's different.
Kat does pick what we eat, though. I'm always the one who's like, what do you want to eat? And he's always the one who's going to make the decision because I just don't care. There's just things that I don't care about, but there are things I do.
Ironically, Alex does care about what we eat. Mm. And I care about what we eat, so we have to compromise.
What is the difference in the dynamic of your nutrition?
We're just on different, like there are some restaurants that I like that he does not like and they're and vice versa. So it's like, okay, if you want to go to your favorite place, I have to kind of, I'm like, okay. And then vice versa. He's like, wow. Okay, I'll go where you want to go.
That's so opposite of it. Well, I guess cause Ka and I eat everything, but if it was up to Ka, we would have Mexican every night.
Like, I love hot pot, and he doesn't. Mm. Well, he doesn't like the hot pot place I like to go to. So he's like, okay.
Can we try other hot pot places?
But I'm a creature of habit, and I don't like changing, so.
When it's good, you just start. Yeah, you're a loyal customer.
I know. Okay. Even if they go down.
Even if they go down. Don't go down, please. Not our hot pot places. So this week, we wanted to talk about self-love and self-worth.
Yes, ma'am, because those are very important.
Yeah, I guess, and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's had a point of their life where you don't feel confident. Everyone talks about, like, you need to love yourself. You're like, how do I do that?
Yeah, it's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, no, most definitely.
And it's a it's not like a one day kind of
thing.
It's a very long, it's a long process.
Yeah. I mean, I used to get this compliment a lot from my friends where they said, Jen, how do you go in public and just not care what people think? And I think that goes hand in hand with how much my self-confidence is and my self-love and genuinely not caring what people think. But it ties to how I was raised. And thinking about this episode, I just know that not everybody is raised the same. And I had parents that allowed me to have the freedom of having a personality. I got to choose whatever clothes I wore. I got to do whatever I wanted to do in my room. I got to paint my walls and put up magazines, put up whatever, and really express myself. Like, I got to wear all these crazy colors, mix match earrings, all the things. And my parents were just like, we love you. And that's it. And you didn't have to change your clothes or what you wear or anything. Just be you.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
So I think it's very different. Like, it's tell me
different.
About
it. I don't think I grew up with the environment to be really proud of myself and love myself. I think there was generational trauma that just passed itself down. And also, I think it was just hard for my mom to navigate as a single mother. One, not being around. And for me, a big thing that I grew up with was finding validation. And I think it's because I just didn't have anyone validating anything that I was doing growing up. So I became a big people pleaser.
Wow.
So it's very different from yours. I actually remember when I first met you, oh my God, this girl like exudes confidence. Because truly, like, you genuinely didn't, from the moment I met you, you've never cared about other people's opinions.
Yeah,
you,
I don't
you
know.
You just did your thing.
It just, and obviously it could be a bad thing, guys. I mean, I have been called obnoxious and all the ugly things, but to me, I took it with a grain of salt. I'm having the best time of my life. I am laughing. I can't stop laughing. And you're over here not laughing in your life at this moment. So you could just stay over there or just stay over there and listen to my funny story. Okay. And we could laugh together.
No, I loved it. Honestly.
And that was kind of, I had to reflect on how I even got that confidence. And I am really lucky to be in that situation. But now I'm curious to hear, how did you grow your self-esteem and self-confidence? Confidence going through all of the traumas as a child? And I think it's different because Asian community, and they, you have to do so much to meet your parents' expectations. And in the older generation, at least for my parents, you don't get thank yous. You don't get I love yous. You don't get those, I guess, words of affirmation of that's not their love language. That wasn't how they were raised for their love language. So you don't get the validation. But because my mom never said anything, it kind of just happened that way.
Well, now my relationship's a lot different. And there is a lot of love and support and things that were older. But younger, now that I think about it, I don't think my mom got validation either. So with that lacking in her life, I think it was harder for her to validate her kids as well. So if we wanted to do, if we were proud to do something, I think it was a level where she also wanted to feel validated. And so it was just a dynamic that didn't really help, I think, either parties. But like you were saying, things that I did to help build my self-worth, one is doing things that make me happy and build me up. So I think a lot of it was spending time by myself and loving time with myself. Not all the time, because I believe we're, as humans, we're made for community. And there's studies everywhere that show social isolation affects your brain. So you do need people in your life, but I also believe that you need to be able to love doing things by yourself, whether it's working out or journaling or solo dates. So you can get to understand yourself. And with that, I think building self-worth is trusting your instincts.
Ooh,
like trusting
that's so true.
Your choice in whatever decision you're making, because if you're constantly
questioning
mm-hmm. and asking people, what do you think about this? Do you think this is a good idea? Do you just stop trusting your own choices?
Yeah.
And you can't, and you just aren't able to make choices without asking other people for
validation. You start losing a little bit of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you start allowing other people's thoughts to start intruding and hanging out with your thoughts.
Yeah.
So then you start adapting to whatever other people like instead of what you want, what you truly want. And I think it's being true to yourself.
I think it's a lot easier to be manipulated.
Yeah.
Being that type of person then too. Mm-hmm. So you end up having relationships with people who may be a bit narcissistic or like looking out for their own or controlling because you don't have the power to claim your own voice. And so someone's doing it for you. And then you take that as love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sorry,
that was deep.
Yeah, that was deep.
That was deep. I mean, it's all very true.
It is true, yeah.
And I think, yeah, I mean, let's just take a second to soak that in. Because that is so true. I don't think I have been in a situation where I was manipulated as much as I have been the manipulator, to be honest.
Maybe because you knew yourself.
Yeah, I knew what I wanted, and I'm thinking, how can I get what I want?
Okay, so I think this is good. We have, you know, we have two people of very opposite spectrums talking about this.
Okay, so ways to build confidence. I wasn't born confident either. I've been bullied a lot during my childhood. I remember crying every single day at school. As I grew up, I learn to embrace, like, hey, I am the only Asian in school. I am the only Asian in this corporate office. Yeah. I am. So I'm going to use my attributes in my favor, pretty much. Mm. So being kind to yourself and being like, hey, I am the token, the Asian token of this group. So I'm going to do my best to be the best representation of me. Because when they meet another Asian person, they're probably, or even another woman, mm-hmm. they're not going to think of Jen.
Yeah.
Because I am my own. And I think that's super, super important. So what I used to do going to work, I would talk to myself in the mirror, in that rear view mirror every day. Because in Atlanta, you're sitting in traffic. So every morning I would look in that mirror and be like, you are a boss babe. And I literally tell myself, I'm like, today's gonna be a productive day. There's nobody that's gonna stop me in my great day. And I'm gonna kill it. And I literally said so many different things to myself every morning. Any type of thing, negative or insecurity I had, I was like, you are absolutely beautiful how you are, who you are. You are a good person. Things that was so hard for me to believe at that moment, that's what I was telling myself. And I told myself at least three things on the way to work and on the way home from work. Because I'm sitting in an hour traffic anyway. So might as well talk to myself, I guess.
Yeah.
And I remember you used to do recordings.
I used to record myself, like do journal recordings and talk to myself.
In the car too. Yeah.
Because they help. Your voice matters the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you overflow your mind with your own voice, with good thoughts and good affirmations, it's going to slowly wash away other people's mm-hmm. voices, all the extra noise. And I like that you said that you claimed yourself as your own. Because, like, another thing is there's only one you in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there's not another snowflake that's the same, there's not another human that's like you. No one has your mannerisms. No one has your personality, your individuality. And so you might as well be the best representation of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's also a gift. You are a gift, you know? You are the only person that's going to bring this type of energy, your energy, to any group setting. And how lucky are people to have that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would tell Kylo, out of all the times your dad and I did the whatever, Kylo, you were the only one that connected with me.
Yeah.
You were the only special swimmer. And and I told him, I was like, how lucky are you? How lucky am I to have you?
Yeah.
And so just knowing, like, the next time I try, and if I don't have a baby that time, I know they're not meant to be my child. But That is how special you are. Do you know how many swimmers were swimming? And to know how special you are and knowing how valuable you are and the impact you make on other people's lives, I think that's so important. One other thing I did to help with self-confidence, I did two other things. I used to have an issue with looking at people in the eye. And so I would wear sunglasses and just look at people in the eye and them not knowing, just so I could practice.
Yeah.
Looking, like, that's how you would build confidence, is to continue to stare people down, because nowadays people don't have that same confidence, so they'll look away.
Yeah.
But for you to be able to look people in the eye, it's just, it's really important, and to make them feel so special and heard.
Eye contact is a huge thing.
In their conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Which sometimes it is hard to have, especially with people you don't know.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, that is based off self-confidence.
It is. Yeah. And then another thing I did was I wrote my eulogy. So a eulogy is what the speech people give you when you die at the funeral. So I wrote my eulogy thinking, what type of person do I want to live? Oh. Like, when I die and someone reads this, everybody in the room is on the same page that that's Jen. Not half the room is like, who is the person that they're talking about? And then the other half is like, oh, that's definitely my girl. So I wrote down my eulogy. This is the life I want to live. And when you do that, it's kind of like thinking backwards, but it's an easier way to live, because then you start thinking about your purpose. You start thinking about, why am I here on earth? And what impact am I going to be as one human contributor to the millions of people in this world? So that's what I did. And it helps me live my most authentic self. And people change all the time, so change your eulogy the way you want. But it's nice to start that way, just to be like, who am I?
Yeah.
And hearing your own voice and being in your own thoughts is just really important, because you don't want to be the people that everybody wants you to be. You want to be you. It's almost like doing the job your parents want you to do and not doing the job you want to do for your career. It's just, stop living the life for other people, but live for yourself.
Oh my God, that's huge. Living your life for your parents.
Yeah.
Is, I think it's a hard pill to get out of sometimes, but because that was definitely my problem. I felt everything I had to do was to satisfy what they expected of me or what they hoped for me. But in reality, you're not going to do everything that your parents have for you. I believe everyone has their own path, you know, and that's an understanding that I'm coming to realize. No matter what I want for my own child, they may have their own path that God put them on, and that's not up to me. The best I can do is be here to help build you to become the person, the best person that you can be. But it's out of my power.
Yeah.
Where you choose to go. And I want them to know that they have that power, you know, because they should feel, oh, I have the choices and I have the ability to make those choices.
Yeah, you do. And that's the thing. You do have the ability. And with the environment that we grew up in, my sister came out the closet at a very young age. I think around 10, 11 years old.
Wow, that's really young.
Yes. And when she came out of the closet, that was like one of the bravest things she's ever done. Yeah. And to be able to sit next to my sister and see her go through that, it's just, it's hard. And so being surrounded by people who are living their truth is so important. Yeah. Do not be around a bunch of chameleons.
No, your sister's really confident too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and because they do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's how my mom's raised us. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not going to lie. We don't have boundaries. But it's still, this is something I am personally very proud of about myself. So it goes hand in hand in your confidence. And just being able to stand up to your parents, being able to stand up to your manager, being able to speak like you need that promotion. You need that raise. It's just owning your worth. Because you are worthy.
Oh, absolutely. Everything. If you have a life, live it.
Yeah. Also, being able to have self-confidence is also being able to say no.
Oh, that's huge. And that's actually something I've learned in my last couple of years. And it helps a lot because you stop... Growing up, I don't know what it is, but like FOMO is a big thing. Mm. And you just start letting those noises go away and realize you're doing whatever's best for you. Mm-hmm. And you just don't miss out on anything anymore because you know you're mm-hmm. doing what you want to do and need to do.
And it's okay to stay at home and just watch people's stories of them living their best life because you needed to create the boundaries for yourself.
Yeah. Or, I mean, for me, I had to social media detox sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I would have to do that in order to, like, trust my instincts. And in the end, I liked what I did better. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't torture myself.
Like, watching everyone's story, living their best life. And you're over here like, oh, I gotta save money. Yeah. I get that. I mean, there's so many things, but just be kinder to yourself, saying positive things. Try your best to avoid comparing yourself to others. And where you're at comparing yourself and being envious is just... It's just not, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like, it's counterproductive. It's
so counterproductive. I like how you said, this is a conclusion that I found with my therapist. Be honest with yourself without being cruel. Because you have to be honest with yourself. You need to be able to look yourself in the mirror and check yourself if there are areas that you need to do better in, or you could have probably said this better in this argument or handled this situation better. Or just like look at yourself and be like, these are the areas where I am falling short and it's okay. I'm working on it. But you got to get your ass up and work on it.
Yeah, literally do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. Like I mean, more excuses. Oh, so that being said, what tough things did you go through to get where you are today? And or did you just wake up and choose not to be that person anymore?
I think when you have toxic relationships in your life, whether it's someone you're dating or a friend or anything, you start to realize like, hey, I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. Like I never deserved any of the cruel things that were happening to me. And then you start falling into, I guess, that manipulation of thinking you're not worthy because they're treating you in a specific way.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was happening to me. Over and over again, I continued to allow people to treat me less than what I knew my worth was. Uh-huh. And I knew I deserved better. And I knew that I should never be going through this. I would have never tolerated it for anyone else. But I did. I allowed that to happen because of you. Because I didn't have the self-love for the boundaries.
Yeah.
And because that continuously happened, I was just like, wait a minute. And I just woke up one day and I was, I don't feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel, I don't feel worthy. And what am I doing here? And you start thinking these negative thoughts where I was like, why am I thinking like this? I never would have allowed these thoughts prior, but one person, I mean, at that time it was multiple, but multiple people in my life are exuding all the terrible things to me. And now I'm over here with them because misery loves company. And so you're miserable, so you're now making me miserable. I remember continuously telling myself, I deserve better. I don't deserve this, at least. If I don't deserve this, why is this happening to me? But really, I never got to point that finger at me. I allowed it to happen. I allowed them to speak to me like that. I allowed all these bad things to happen. And so when I realized that and it clicked, you know, because when you love someone, it doesn't click. Mm-mm. And so when it clicked, I was like, wait. No, this is not working. And then that's when I had to remove myself from the situation. I had to start working on my confidence again. And that's why I was doing all those things, because I did lose myself.
Yeah.
And I think one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, who am I? Because you allowed so many people to divert and change your thoughts of who you are, that you wake up like, who am I? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened to me.
Well, that's rough.
Yeah. But I mean, it took me a long way, but I finally figured it out, and now I'm here.
No, the fact that it takes so long is actually so real. I think for me, my tough moment, what I can't give you a specific moment that made it tough. There were probably things that added onto it, mm-hmm. but there was years of just darkness. It was dark. And be mindful, like, it was not like, if you saw me, you probably would not have known. Mm-hmm. I'm out here online. You're probably seeing online or even out. Look like I live my best life, but behind closed doors, I am mm-hmm. absolutely miserable. And so it was just a dark tunnel for a really long time. And I mentioned that in our pre-therapy, post-therapy episode. Mm-hmm. But also toxic relationships, friends, family, lovers, like those all did affect it definitely and lowered it more. But I just remember for a couple years, there were multiple days where I would wake up and be like, I'm done. I'm done mm-hmm. being this type of person. I want to make a change. But this is repetitive multiple times. Like, I cannot even stress enough how many times I've tried and failed and mm-hmm. literally thought it was going to be a never-ending road. Like, I really didn't think that my self-confidence would ever grow, you know? But, like, which is weird because, like, I would look back at my past self and be like, she was never like this. Why mm-hmm. am I like this now? And even comparing your past self to your present self, I think, can be dangerous mm-hmm. because you are a whole different person. So if you're, like, comparing, like, well, I was so happy then and I was doing this and whatever, blah, blah. And then it's making you feel even shittier and it makes you feel mm-hmm. like you're weaker. Like, I was just like, when did I get so weak? Mm-hmm. When did I become this kind of person? And it's just that road is so long. But mm-hmm. the thing is, like I said, you just got to get up and half of it is showing up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be so many times where you continuously fail. And it's also very, like, it wears you down. But one day, that door, like, that tunnel, like, you will see the light. Like, I did not believe people. I thought that was so cliche. I was like, all right, dude, shut up. I, like, literally am never getting myself out of this. I'm just going to continue to, this is just what it's going to be like. And I prayed on my hands and knees so many times for it to be over. And today, I don't remember the last time I felt like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it does eventually get better. I can't even tell you when it did either.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to me. Where when I was talking to myself in the mirror, I talked to myself so much. And I remember doing that every day. But one day, I just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Because, and then I don't remember when I stopped.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I believed everything I already was telling myself already. So I didn't have to say anything. Yeah. I didn't have to say any insecurity to myself and lying and being DeLulu until I believed it.
Because your DeLulu became reality.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that happened. Okay, side note, but this has been coming up a lot on my feed where they're saying, if your dreams and what you want in your life is not delusional, you are not dreaming big enough. And so be DeLulu. And I'm encouraging it for everyone that I know, because one day your craziness happens and it comes true. And then what? You know what I mean? Everyone's going to look at you in awe that you did that thing.
Oh, yeah. They say, like, the people that you grew up with, your hometown, the people you're closest to are going to be the people who believe in you the least. Mm-hmm. Because they already have a picture of you.
Yeah.
But if you allow yourself to dim your crazy DeLulu dreams, you're literally not helping anyone else but other people. And you're hurting yourself.
Yes, I absolutely agree. It's like what we said in the beginning. You know how we said we have one life to live?
Yeah.
Like, this is your one life. Why are you not loving yourself in this one life you have?
No, actually, though.
I mean, if you believe in reincarnation and stuff, that's cool. But you got to start all over.
Yeah, you have to start all over if you want to live the rest of your life doing this. Because I think both of us can agree it's just not fun. Mm-hmm. And it's not the trouble of getting out of that, no matter how hard it is actually so worth it mm-hmm. when you get on the other side.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people don't have hobbies. So what I did as well to help my self-confidence uh-huh. was I just wrote something I've never done. Like, write a list of things you've never done before and then do it. Like, it once a month, like, the very least. Or every weekend, whatever time you have, like, do it. And that will build your self-esteem so much because you're going to be like, wow, that was a crazy thing. I went skydiving, but I did it.
Yeah.
And then you have all these cool stories that you get to share with other people. And they're going to think you're, like, the most coolest person ever. I don't even know if people say cool anymore, but you know what I mean.
And, you know, like, another way is I did a lot of slow increment things mm-hmm. and I would continuously do it. So taking care of myself, going to the gym helped. Mm-hmm. Honestly, eating healthy helped. Like, things, little, really little things like that. Dressing up on days, even if you're working from home, mm-hmm. like, that just helps get the day started so much better. Making your bed every morning is actually, like, key. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful. And it just makes you feel like you accomplished one thing and it snowballs effects. It's like a book that talks about that too. And also, like, for example, one thing, it's like, I used to be like, I just thought I could never do a full glam on my face because I didn't wear much makeup. I didn't know how to do anything. And I was always envious of that. And I just felt like I was never going to be that type of person. But slowly, I just watched videos. Mm-hmm. I went bought one thing mm-hmm. and, like, learn to do, like, different things with it. And it just, it sounds so little, but it grows your confidence so yes. much. And so, you're like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah. It feels good, honestly. Oh, there's this book. It's called The One Thing, something like that. And the book talks about, like, if you eat a donut, one donut every day, do you know how much weight you would gain? It's like that one donut that day was not significant. But because you snowballed effect that, you start gaining a lot of weight. But if you just reverse that psychology and do something good for yourself, then that will snowball and make a huge difference later. So just do that good thing for yourself a day. And then eventually you're going to be doing a million great things for yourself. And you're going to be doing it and everyone's going to be inspired by how amazing you are.
Yeah, it's all the little things. It's things also that no one notices.
Yeah.
Which, in hindsight, builds your self-worth because you know how much you put into it. And no one else needs to know. And no one else needs to give you the validation that you worked hard because you know you did it.
Yeah. And I think that's when I talked in the mirror and be like, you did that, girl.
Yeah, like, no one would know that you did that. Mm-hmm. No one knew that you would talk to yourself in the mirror and validate yourself every day. They just saw the byproduct of you having mm-hmm. done that.
They saw the results.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us anything that you guys are doing to build your self-confidence and your self-esteem and things that you guys have gone through. And also, if you like these quickie questions, let us know and we'll continue. Okay, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.